Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And several thousand years ago, God said to Abraham, on the eighth day, all males were to be circumcised. This act of obedience brought them into God's family. And we think about this family and how now baptism has replaced circumcision. It was given to us, Jesus' last command before he left. As you said, Pastor, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And so here we are today. And in our scriptural lesson, we heard on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was circumcised and given the name Jesus, the name the angel had given before he had been conceived. And today's sermon is entitled Making the Cut. And I wonder if the rabbi would have been nervous if he had known who he was sacrificing. Who is this that I circumcise today? Well, it's Jesus, the promised Messiah. Wonder if he was a little nervous. Well, as I was preparing today's sermon, I was pondering the word cut. And I was thinking of the word cut because how we can cut certain things. And then I also thought, that doesn't fall off the pulpit, I also thought about how sometimes the pen can be mightier than the sword. And even mightier still yet is the word. And that word became flesh and lived among us. Well, we're talking about cuts today. As I was pondering this sermon, where are my teachers in here? One time I was talking to a friend of mine, a fellow teacher, and she said, oh, you want to know a bad day? A bad day is when two kindergartners smuggle scissors out of the classroom and give themselves haircuts on picture day. Oh my, anybody here that had a bad hair day, bad haircut? Yeah, ever had it caught on film? Now they post it on the internet. Well, there are lots of ways that we use the word cut. There's that no cuts in line, or hey, prime cuts are available at the grocery store. And we just came through this election when we were told that all the politicians want to have tax cuts. And we're going to cut all that wasteful spending to the bone. And I hope they can do it. But how many of us, how about this for cutting? You're driving down the road and you cut over only to be cut off. Oh, there's a cut here and where are my seamstresses? There's cut here or cut on the line or who cut that? And how many of us here have ever had to confess to cutting it? And how many of us have been told, cut it out, or somebody said, I know a shortcut. Any of you wives ever had your husband tell you that when you're driving? I know a shortcut. And how many of us know a cut up? I know several people that are cut ups. Well, who here has seen their position cut? Their position cut because of hard economic times. And then there are the words that cut us to the heart. And who here has ever known the awful cut of losing someone you love? And there's another use for the word cut, cut that is so important to our sermon today. And who here has ever been good enough to make the cut? To make the team. And then there are those that have been cut from the team. Not good enough, didn't fit in, didn't measure up. And there are other uses for the word cut, other uses that are most important and serious. And I ask you, who here realizes that their sins, your sins, my sins, have cut us off from God? That left to our own devices, we would not make the cut. We would not make it into God's family. St. John tells a beautiful story about this. And he says, first of all, he says, if we have not sinned, then God's truth is not registering in our hearts if we say we have not sinned. If we think that our sins will not cut us off from God, then I need to tell you and I need to tell myself that we are deceiving ourselves. There's a story that Jesus told about a man who came to a wedding, came to a celebration, came to the banquet, and he was not wearing the robes that were provided by the king. This invited guest came in his sin-stained clothes. And sadly, he went from invited to uninvited. And the king said, bind his hands and feet and cast him out into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That robe provided, that white robe is one that has been washed clean from sin. And the man who refused the king's robe and he chose to wear his clothes, to do it his way. I lived life my way. I've got my own forgiveness. And that man's robe was stained terribly by sin. The king in that story is God our Father. And no one, no matter how much earthly good you've done, no one can be in God's presence covered in sin. No one comes to the banquet covered and reeking of earthly sin. If you do, you're cut off, you're cut loose, you're cut out, you're cast out. And that is you and me, my friends, for we have all, young to oldest, we have all sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And with those sins comes death. Death and eternal separation from God. And yes, there is a place. There is a place of eternal weeping and suffering and worst of all, hopelessness. What are we to do? What are we to do? If the sermon ended here, you'd leave on a very sad note. But I'm here to tell you, hold on, hold on. God has not abandoned us. From that very first sin in the Garden of Eden, God gave us a promise. One that one would come who would save us from our sins. One who would allow us to measure up, allowing us to make that most important final cut. One is coming, promised the Lord. And on the eighth day, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be circumcised, and they gave him the name that is above all names. They gave him the name Jesus. Yes, it means God saves. Truly in Jesus, God is with us. And more important than that, God is for us, for he will do that which we could not do for ourselves. He will earn for us the forgiveness of our sins. He will give to us the beautiful white robes of righteousness. And after his baptism, it is written that Jesus went into the desert, and there for 40 days he was tempted by the devil again and again and again. We only know of a few of the temptations. I ask you here, is anybody here an easy target for temptation? Are any of you easy targets for temptation? Oh, Pastor and I, a few people in the front, okay. Targets for the devil. Anybody here easy pickings for the devil? Anybody here when they sin and they say, it's not my fault, the devil made me do it. Oh, you remember that. Flip Wilson had a character, Geraldine. The devil made me do it. Yes, there are people out there who will not say it is me, but he that made me do it. Oh, we can laugh at it. But what went on in that desert was very real. And they were real temptations, and it's no laughing matter. But Jesus did what we couldn't do. Jesus stood firm. He stood firm. He did not fall for temptation. He made the cut. He walked out of that desert having made that cut for us. And returning to Galilee, I love this part, he began to teach the deep thinking of God. And he taught the wisdom of God. And he taught with an authority that no self-proclaimed preacher, teacher, holy man could measure up to. No, his was the very words of God. God in flesh appearing, God speaking God's word. And he was accredited to us by his power over nature, by his repeated healings that no mere man could do, and by other countless miracles. These he did not just for the people back then, but he did them for every generation, that every generation could hear and they could know all that he has done. He has made the cut. He made the cut. Yes, yes. He was branded as the Messiah. But still there were those that were against him. And he endured the cuts of being rejected by many, spoken against by many, and even threatened with death. And his final journey on led him one last time to Jerusalem, led him into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we see him sweating blood over the cost of our salvation. He who knew no sin took our sins upon himself. And soon the mob came for him, and he was unfairly arrested. He was accused. He was tried. He was declared guilty. All of that cutting him off from justice. And if that weren't worse or bad enough, he was scourged. He was crowned with thorns, and he was nailed to a cross. But even there, even as they taunted him, come down from there and we will believe you are the promised one. Even on the cross, he hung there. He hung there and he would not cut away from God's plan of salvation. The prophet Isaiah had written hundreds of years before this, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet as he hung on a cross, There were those that considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. That, my friends, are those temptations that you fall for and I fall for. The sins that we commit. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquities. They're our rebellion, our rebellious hearts against God. And the punishment that brought us peace and forgiveness was upon him. Upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus was to be the one perfect final offering for our sins. My friends, he took your place. He took my place. He took all of our places. He took our punishment so that one day we might be able to face the Father at that heavenly banquet, that we might be able to face him and not find ourselves cut off. We would and could know that yes, yes, we have made the cut. Yes, Jesus died and he was cut off from the world, cut off from the world to the living. Now remember, it should have been our trial, our suffering, our death, our tomb. But Jesus took our place. And then on the third day, as he had foretold, he arose from the dead, glorious and victorious. Yes, no longer cut off from the world. And his was and is the only victory over sin and death. Over sin, death, and the devil. Over sin, death, the devil, and the sinful world. His is the only victory. And here comes the best news of all. The best news of all, for I tell you that his victory becomes our victory. He shares it with us. I love it. Moments before he ascended back to heaven, there he was up on the mount, disciples gathered all around. And he said, oh, by the way, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now I want you to go and make disciples. Hey, Pastor, just like you were called to do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just as all of us are able to do, teaching them all the thinking and the wisdom of God. Make my victory, Jesus says. Make my victory their victory. Make my victory the victory for all people. And his victory comes by and through the hearing of God's word. Remember, one of the powerful things about cutting is it can come by and through the word. And this is the best of all cutting, for it cuts us, cuts sin away from us. It brings us into God's family. His victory, as I said, comes from hearing the word and from worship and from baptism. It comes to us. His victory comes through baptism and through communion. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are no longer cut off from our God, but we are best of all. You said it this morning, Pastor. We are declared to be his sons and daughters. If we were only servants, servants have no permanent place in the home. But sons and daughters, they have a permanent place. And this declaration was for you and it was for me. So, having made the cut, we made the cut. Our names are written in the book of life. Our names are up there. Having made the cut, what are we supposed to do? We can share Jesus. We can share that Jesus loves other people the way he loves us. That Jesus loves people the way they are right now. You don't have to get better for Jesus to love you. Jesus loves you right now. You need to take that message. I remember the rhyme, banker, baker, candlestick maker. How about scoundrel, faker, and oh, what a sin maker. But Jesus loves us just the way we are at that moment. But from that moment, when someone comes to believe in all that Jesus has done for us, by his life, by his death, by his resurrection and ascension back to heaven, all of this he gives to us freely. And from that first moment, we realize, or other people realize, yes, yes, we've made the cut. His word and his spirit, the Holy Spirit and his love, they go to work in us. And all of this leads me to one final story. It's a story about how are we supposed to live now that our name's on the list, our name's in the book, we've made the cut, what are we to do now? Well, I know Ruth Ann gets a lot of this in the mail, and so do I, but there are calls for help for rescue missions. And one of the ones we help is the Denver Rescue Mission down in town. That's where a story like this comes from. It's a place where you wouldn't want to live. It is filled with all kinds of people that have not made the cut. People who have been cut down or tossed out or left out. And at one of these rescue missions was a man who was the worst of the worst. If it wasn't for the fact that he smelled so bad that you got close enough to realize that he must be unredeemable. He is so foul of body and soul. He's unredeemable by most people's thinking. And his name was Joe. And in order to get the nightly meal and a place to sleep, he had to come to the pre-dinner service and hear the word of God that was brought every single night. But one night, the word of God, got there and cut him to the heart. Yes, yes, I am a sinner, but I'm a redeemed sinner. I'm redeemed by the very blood of the Lamb. And all of that began to change from that moment. Joe began to change from the inside out. The Word of God began to work in him. And finally, he was able to quit drinking. And as God cleaned up the inside, his outside began to change as well. And Joe went from being unredeemable to one of the redeemed. But Joe never failed to remember where he came from. And he daily visited the mission. And there he would help put the drunks to bed. He would clean up the vomit. He'd clean up the most disgusting bathrooms you can imagine. And all of this he did not for God's love, No, he did because of God's love and forgiveness. And then one day, Joe transferred membership from here to there. He was remembered and he was missed. And one night at one of the pre-service dinners, the word of God got a hold of another man who was probably equally unredeemable. But it got a hold of this man when he realized what a sinner he was. He began to weep and wail. He knew how many his sins were and how grievous they were. But the love and the grace of Jesus was even more amazing. As he rocked back and forth, tears running down his face, he began to wail, "Make me like Joe! Make me like Joe!" And the pastor came down and looked at him and sat next to him, even put his arm around him and says, "Don't you mean make you like Jesus?" And he says, "Is Jesus like Joe?" My friends, what are we to do? What are we to do? You and I, we are Jesus's living representatives. We are Jesus with skin on to the world. In your sermons, your Advent sermons, you talked about we're a living Christmas card. Well, Christmas is getting put away. We're a living New Year's card, a living New Year. We're Jesus with skin on to the world. We are to be in word and we are to be in worship. We are to be in fellowship and we are to be in prayer. And these will all seek to refine our hearts and then our minds and finally our hands and our words. We are to go out into the world and we are to share God's grace, share God's mercy, share God's love that has freely and abundantly just been poured out and onto us. We are to go out and share that. All of us who were once cut out are now cut in. And this cutting in, this making of the final cut, isn't just for us. Jesus didn't say only for the people of Trinity Lutheran Church, close to the cemetery and across from Home Depot. It is for all people. All people. And he says to us, go. 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 May God keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said,